Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Into our second hour. Always good to be with you on a Monday. Coming off a run to New York City, was on the NFL on CBS, and Tops on CBS Sports Network. Had a great weekend back there. Turned around, came back, made it back in time for the program today, and it feels good. Welcome to the show, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so this first segment's open. I want to use it to recap what I saw around the NFL, and I will do so momentarily. Coming up next segment, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Terry Stotts. Coming up in hour number three, Dennis Dodd, a CBS Sports college football writer. Lots to cover with him. If you want to jump in, go ahead. Like, I already busted the format open myself. I will do it for you, too, for the right call. 1-800-636-8686. Now, when I say that I busted the format open, it's because on Monday, I always start the show off by doing an NFL recap. I did not do so today because I want to recap the 49ers win over the Saints and that George Kittle play. Again, I could do another hour on that play alone. I could do that easily. In fact, I could do two more hours on that play. In fact, I could stay on the air after the show for a few more hours and talk about that play in that game. Except there are a few more things that happened yesterday, which I do want to get to. For instance, the Rams and the way they showed up last night. Todd Gurley in particular. Gurley force-feeding Seattle's Trey Flowers with one of the nastiest stiff arms you're ever going to see.
And Gurley swings to the outside. Stiff arm into the end zone. He goes for the touchdown.
Trey Flowers going to get a facial on this one. That was an ugly one, too. Anytime you're playing against Gurley, you have to know the stiff arm is coming. So you either have to knock that hand down or go straight for the knees.
That's NBC, of course. That was a nasty, nasty stiff arm. That looked like the old Todd Gurley. That looked like the old Todd Gurley, and they look like the old L.A. Rams. And by old, I mean last year's crew. That was a rough few hours for Seattle. They watch the Niners beat the Saints, then they go out, and they get pushed into the ground by the Rams. And only a few hours after, I hyped the hell out of them on the NFL on CBS. Yeah, thanks for that, fellas. Thanks for absolutely nothing. Thanks for keeping the Rams season alive and making yourselves and me look bad. Again, thank you very little. As long as we're talking about guys getting manhandled, how about a little respect for one Ryan Timothy Tannehill? Hell yes, I just governmented Ryan Tannehill because he didn't just roll into Oakland and pass for nearly 400 yards and three touchdowns. He also put one hell of a lick on Maurice Hurst as the big man was looking to house an interception on the opening drive. This play actually is amazing.
Tannehill under pressure and it's intercepted. Tipped and picked off. Maurice Hurst off to the races. Tannehill cuts him down at about the 25-yard line.
That big dog was off of the races. Man, he saw glory. He saw pay dirt. Nothing but respect to Hurst for the INT and for the big fella showing his wheels down the field. My man was going. He was moving. He had a head of steam. You know he saw that end zone, and he was thinking NFL Heisman Trophy on that. And that's when he got absolutely lit up by Tannehill. I have not seen a quarterback lay a hit on somebody like that since Andrew Luck laid out Sharice Wright back in college.
Luck creaming! Sharice Wright, are you kidding?
I hate to put salt in the wound, Raider fan, but that play is the perfect metaphor for your entire season. You get rolling. You're thinking you might be able to do something amazing. Maybe get to the playoffs. Not only get to the playoffs, but possibly win your division. And then you get blindsided and absolutely dump-trucked out of nowhere. From looking like an all-time big man pick six to getting flattened by the quarterback in seconds. From 6-4 to 6-7 in a heartbeat. Even with that pick. Even with the pick, that was an amazing play by Tannehill. Like, he gets picked, And instead of giving up on the play, my man turns and starts running like the wind. And you talk about a dude having an angle. And then just lighting up a big man and wrecking his lifelong dream. Not only did he not house it, he got snot bubbled by the QB. A QB who went from looking like one of the biggest busts ever to one of the best signal callers in the NFL. And he is right now. What a moment and what an amazing meltdown by the Raiders. Because the Raiders didn't just lose that game, they got humiliated at home, 42-21. Outscored 21-0 in the second half, booed by the hometown fans. That's not how you want to show up in your second to last game in Oakland, ever. Amy Trask and I were talking about it on Tops before the game. I said, Amy. Amy Trask is awesome. She is so good. She is so smart. I said, Amy. So, like, if you look at the Raiders, and they're not only wrapping up their time in Oakland, but in the state of California. And I said, you grew up in Los Angeles. You went to college in the Bay Area. You went on to become CEO of the Raiders. What are your thoughts? What are your memories? What do you think as time is winding down? I don't think either one of us thought that something like that was going to happen. I felt good about Tennessee going into that game, but I did not feel good about the possibility of the Raiders getting beaten down in their second to last game in Oakland, and that's exactly what happened. Raider fan, remember when they were 6-4 and talking about how they were going to KC and they were going to rip that division, not just a playoff spot? Neither do I. Then you had the Ravens and the Bills. Before yesterday, the Ravens technically had not clinched a playoff spot, and now they have, because they went into Buffalo and they beat the Bills, not with Lamar Jackson in their offense, but with Marcus Peters in their defense. Jeffrey Chidiha and I were talking about that last hour. You remember when Peters was traded to Baltimore, and then LA signed Jalen Ramsey, and all the attention went to Ramsey, and whatever attention Peters did get was not good. You know, questions about his character, his mindset, questions about why another team had given up on him despite his playmaking ability. Yeah, right. So what are people saying about this guy now? What they're saying is he helped turn around their season and that he's a huge reason why they're now the team to beat in the AFC, if not the NFL. In fact, plenty of people thought that he might just go right into the tank after they traded him. Not Peters. He knew better. He told Mike Silver, quote, I've come from worse situations than being traded. I've been shot at. I've been jumped. I've been through all that. I've got cousins who played in the NFL. Josh Johnson has been cut like 13 or 14 times. I ain't nobody's puppet. I handle my business. I bust my ass in practice. I own it when it's bad, and I try to support my family. End quote. Like, that was a good Ravens defense before he got there, and now it's a great Ravens defense. They held the Bills to 209 yards. They sacked Josh Allen 6 times. It was Peters who had the biggest play of the game. Peters who had the biggest party of the day. Baltimore was up 24-17. 1:08 to go. Buffalo had the ball. 4th and 8. Baltimore's 16-yard line. Game on the line. Baltimore's D coordinator, Wink Martindale, goes with a zero blitz, meaning Peters is all alone in coverage on John Brown. In case you missed it, I will roll it for you.
Josh lines up shotgun. Here's the snap. All kinds of pressure now. Josh guns it downfield. It is incomplete for John Brown. He was well covered by Marcus Peters inside the 5. The pass falls incomplete, and the Ravens start to celebrate with 1:03 left to play.
Bills radio. Like, Peters had the textbook pass breakup. Textbook. Then the textbook celebration. Running to the stands, jumping into the stands, and appearing to shotgun a beer. That's a defensive coordinator going with a zero blitz with the game on the line in the red zone. And a cornerback coming up with a huge play. It's crazy. But as Martindale told Peters when he arrived in Baltimore, it takes crazy to coach crazy. Then again, you go with that when you know you've got a ball hawk and a playmaker on the corner. I mean, say what you want about Peters, and some of it's probably true. But when this dude's locked in, he makes a bleep load of plays. Martindale knows it. That's why he puts him in those spots to make those kind of plays. No wonder this guy loves his coach. Peters told Silver, quote, Wink's got flavor. Wink understands. It's going to take all of us. Andy's a tremendous leader. I've got some real tough love for Wink. He believed in me, and belief can go a long way. End quote. Especially as it relates to Peters. Again, I'm not saying this guy's perfect. Far from it. But you give this guy a little bit of love. You show him a little bit of respect. It's going to pay dividends. Big ones. Like that. And just because that win was more about Baltimore's defense does not mean that Lamar Jackson was not doing Lamar Jackson things. He did. Like passing for three TDs. And like putting Buffalo's Matt Milano on skates.
New set of downs for Baltimore to work with. Shake and bake. Jackson, the acceleration. Uh-oh. And Jackson takes it to the 25-yard line. Lamar Jackson with an excellent run, and he has cracked 1,000 rushing yards on the season.
And how many ankles has he broken?
I mean, that call barely does that justice. If you have not seen that clip, and you are not near a TV right now, I suggest you track that down. Jackson had absolutely nowhere to run and still got 7 yards and still humiliated professional football players, still humiliated world-class athletes. And one more piece from that game. Bills fans, listen, I know you're not about moral victories, but don't despair. I know that final result was not what you wanted. I know you're not about the moral victory, but that was a damn good showing by your team. You stood in. You went toe-to-toe with the best team in the conference, you had a rough day on offense, and you still had a chance to tie it or win it late. And thanks to New England losing, you're still right in this thing. Rest and recover, rebound and rally, because you have been flexed into prime time this week. Bills Mafia, you still have a look at this thing. 1-800-636-8686. The Pats and the refs get their own take. That's still ahead. Also, I want to recap what I saw from Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. There's a lot of questions about him earlier this year, and he's getting better and better and better. Patrick Reed doing Patrick Reed things. If Lamar Jackson is doing Lamar Jackson things, then Patty Reed is doing Patty Reed things. That's coming up too. Dear Rome, yesterday's game aside, the Niners have only 2 losses to 2 great teams by a total of 6 points. Mike and Snowbird, exactly. Another reason why I hyped them up on the NFL on CBS, for that very reason. Dear Mr. Rome, good gosh almighty, I am so excited that Lane Kiffin is the new Ole Miss head coach. I raise a vodka water to him, and I say, bim, bam, flim, flam. Here's to the hot messes in the red dresses. Signed, the Mississippi Queen.
My favorite thing about the Grove, hands down, is the alcohol. It's not always free, but it's always there. So, yeah, alcohol, hands down. Answer your question. Next question.
Okay, but you can get that at the Square, right?
My favorite thing about the Grove is getting to meet people and see everyone from other schools that you know, and you run into people, and it's... I don't know, it's just fun. It's like a big party. And
well, to me, it sounds like you don't care that much about school spirit.
I love school spirit, but, like, let's not get me wrong. Like, I wouldn't have school spirit without a couple of vodka waters.
Bim, bam, flim, flam. She is the Mississippi Queen. Hey, I'm all about school spirit. Let's not get this twisted, reporter guy. Hey, yo, reporter guy. Let's not get it twisted. I am all about school spirit. But what I'm really about is school vodka. You can't. And look who's there. Lane Kiffin back in the SEC where he belongs. What a great hire. I can't wait to see it. College football playoff is set. Wisconsin family was blowing me up on Saturday night. They were up 21-7 at halftime on Ohio State. It looked great. And then Ohio State came back. Clemson made their statement. We will talk about that. How about LSU on top? And what's going to happen to Oklahoma? 1-800-636-8686. Bim, bam, flim, flam. Lane Kiffin back in the SEC. When we return, we'll talk some Trailblazer basketball. Terry Stotts comes back in. That's next. If you're in need of a last-minute gift this holiday season, O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. They've got several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge, a 20-in-1 multi-tool, storage containers, even a universal backup camera. You can get professional quality power torque tool sets starting at only $19.99. Not to mention gift cards for that hard to shop for person on your list. You can even buy gifts online and pick them up at your nearest O'Reilly Auto Parts store. So take the stress out of holiday shopping. Head to O'ReillyAuto.com to place your order for convenient pickup in store. O'Reilly Auto Parts has thousands of quality parts and accessories in stock. You can shop from your phone, your tablet, or your computer, and then pick them up on your schedule. With more than 5,000 stores nationwide, there is an O'Reilly Auto Parts store near you with friendly professional parts people who can have your order ready and waiting. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly. Welcome back. All right, so we've hit the NFL really hard. Let's talk some association. We are joined right now by the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. He is in his eighth season with the Blazers, led Portland to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in nearly 20 years. Only current NBA coach to win Coach of the Month at least once in each of the last six seasons. Portland is at home against New York tomorrow night. We are joined by Terry Stotts. Terry, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm doing great. And I know you would say the same thing, except maybe you're coming off that tough loss to OKC. You've got the Knicks coming in tomorrow night, or you are hosting them. When you have a game like that against the Thunder, how eager, Terry, are you to get that taste out of your mouth and get back to work as quickly as possible?
To be honest, you know, you as a coach, you want to get back the next day and get better. And, you know, you look at a – it's tough to lose a game at home. Oklahoma City is playing well, and you know, every day is, you know, how can we get better the next day and prepare for the next game?
You know, I would imagine it's a long season, and as a team, you've been through some tough stretches in the past, and you've been able to turn it around. Is it something you talk about with the team at all? And you've had some injuries, to be sure. Is it something you talk to the team about at all when you go through a stretch like this? Or because you have guys like Dame and CJ, do you not even need to have that conversation and just know guys will be focused and they'll get it turned around?
Yeah, you know, we're kind of a mixed team, but we've got some veterans. As you mentioned, Dame and CJ have been through it. Melo has been through it. Hassan's been in the league for a while. Kent Bazemore's been in the league for a while. So, you know, we have some veterans who know it's a long season. They've navigated long seasons before, and it's a dip. And sometimes the schedule breaks your way, and you never know when you're going to bust out. And you just got to – the good thing is that our guys know that, hey, we got to come back and bounce back and get the next game and go from there.
Terry Stotts is joining us. Yeah, Terry, you mentioned Melo. It's been just under 3 weeks since he made his debut, and then he averaged 22-8-3 during the win streak, and he was named the Western Conference Player of the Week. What's it been like to work with him so far?
You know, it's been really good. He certainly filled a void for us. He came back in great shape. I was impressed by that. Obviously, he was Player of the Week. He had a really good stretch, and you know, he struggled shooting the ball last night. But like I said, even after his very first game against New Orleans 2 or 3 weeks ago, where he went 4 for 18, but he gets good looks. I mean, he gets shots that you think are makeable shots, and that was the same thing last night. He didn't shoot the ball well, but he got good looks, and you know, he has his experience. I think just, you can feel it on the court. You can feel his presence on the court, in the locker room, on the practice court. He just, you know, he's been through it all.
We're talking to Terry Stotts. You know, Terry, you mentioned this, but I kind of want to emphasize the point. Like, there's this perception of Melo as a natural scorer, but how impressive is it that he's coming back from being out of the league for a year, he's already playing 35 minutes a night, and he's putting up the numbers he's putting up?
Well, it's a testament to him how diligent and how disciplined he was while he was out of the league. And I know that was a tough period for him. But, you know, at 35, I'm probably playing him too many minutes, but physically he's in great shape. And, you know, what he's been able to do for us, I don't think anybody really saw that coming. I think there were a lot of question marks about him when he came back, and he certainly answered them all.
Terry Stotts is joining us once again. And then, Terry, Rodney Hood suffered that torn Achilles on Friday against the Lakers. You and I have talked in the postseason about him and what he meant to the team since he arrived. So how big of a blow is that from a team standpoint and just from a personal standpoint for you to see him suffer that injury?
Well, it's much more so on a personal level. You know, I think we all, coaches, players, really felt for Rodney as the man, as the player, because he was playing well. He found a home here. Everything was going well. And for him to have an injury like that finishes his season, it's just everybody felt for him. And, you know, obviously from a team, it's a blow because he was, we're getting a little bit of a rhythm with the addition of Carmelo, and Rodney was coming into his own, and, you know, he's averaging over 30 minutes a game for us. We got a rhythm, and so from a team standpoint, it's kind of set us back, obviously.
I mean, obviously, and from a team standpoint, you're dealing with more than your share of injuries. I understand this is part of the game. Nobody knows that better than you. But at the same time, is there any part of you that wants to say, come on, now give us a break. Enough's enough.
Well, yeah, you feel that, but, you know, there are a lot of teams around the league that you look at Golden State and you look at some other teams that that have been dealing with injuries as well. So it's disappointing on a lot of levels, but, you know, nobody – we don't want to use that, and really honestly, nobody wants to hear it either.
Terry Stotts joining us. Now, last week you announced that Pau Gasol is going to join the coaching staff. He has always been far and away one of the most thoughtful players to speak with. What does he bring to the team from a coaching standpoint?
You know, you mentioned and you've spoken with him. He is a very smart guy. He's very thoughtful in his observations and his comments, and he has the respect, in some ways like Melo, that he has the respect of all the players on the team. So when he talks to Hassan or Scalabissiere or some of the rookies, they're going to listen to what he has to say, whatever it is. It could be on court, it could be off court, it could be business related, who knows. But he's got such respect with the players, he just lends himself some credibility that and sometimes that coaches can't do.
We're talking to Terry Stotts. And Terry, you're not going to like this part, but make it about you for a minute. You started your high school basketball career in Guam. You moved to Indiana, and you played at Bloomington North. In March, you're going to be inducted into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. When you consider how much basketball means in Indiana and all the tradition in that state, how much does it mean to you to receive that honor?
You know, it is special. You know, Indiana is such a basketball state with Hoosier Hysteria, and all the great basketball people who have been inducted into that Hall of Fame. It is quite an honor, and I kind of looked at it as more of a lifetime achievement award because I've been in basketball for all my life, and whether it's my high school, college playing career, or my coaching career, it's quite an honor, and I was kind of humbled by it.
You know, there's really nobody that I know, Terry, that's had quite the journey you have. Again, you started your high school basketball career in Guam, and then you moved to Indiana, and you played at Bloomington North. So as you look back on that, what was that transition like?
You know, my parents went to Guam when I was 11. They were teachers. And, you know, obviously my dad was a basketball coach, and basketball had been a big part. But he wanted to get me back to the States to play high school basketball. And, you know, I owe a debt for my dad for having that idea, but also I lived with guardians in Indiana who took me in. And, you know, I didn't know when I left Guam, I didn't know what was in store for me in Indiana with the reputation that it had. And everything worked out, at least from a basketball standpoint. And it was an interesting transition. You know, on Guam, I played against the military guys at the Air Force Base and played against grown men there, and then going to Indiana, playing at the Hyper Building at Indiana University. It was a unique journey, to say the least.
Terry Stotts joining us. I have to think, though, Terry, you probably wonder, all right, so how am I going to stack up, right, when I end up showing up in Indiana? But you show up and you average more than 21 points and 12 boards as a junior and a senior. You led Bloomington North to its first sectional championship, and legend has it, on top of all that, you were named Prom King. What was that run like for you?
You know, being named Prom King as in my first year at that school was probably my biggest accomplishment.
Sounds awesome, actually. I mean, prom king? All right, so listen, one serious note. You and I talked about the work-life balance in the past. It's something that came up with other NBA coaches. As an example, Doc Rivers told the LA Times, there was a time about 3 years ago where he was throwing up constantly. He was losing weight. He needed to get IVs. Scott Brooks told the Times, the grind takes so much out of a coach that it feels like you start the year at 6 feet and then you end it at about a 5'2". What's your way of coping with this or approaching this? How do you deal with that grind?
Well, you know, I read that article, and I liked the different takes different coaches have. And, you know, it's such a personal thing. I think the personalities of coaches are varied across the league, and everybody uses whatever mechanisms. I think for me, and it was mentioned in the article, is, you know, managing your time and whether it's your work time, your exercise time, diet is important because of the hours that we keep. I think everybody deals with stress differently. I don't think there's any one best way. But for me, you know, I pick my spots. You know, I pick my spots to exercise. I pick my spots to have downtime to watch some television with my wife or go out to dinner. Pick my spots to work. You know, if it means getting up early and doing some film, if it means staying up late on the plane, that's what you do. But I think just being aware of it is the most important thing.
Yeah, great point. Being aware of it. So really quickly as a follow, Terry, before I let you go, what about diet? You mentioned diet. As an example, like I do this thing where I go to New York and back in one weekend. I did it this weekend to be on the NFL and CBS, and I bring this not up to like toot my own horn. It's a real issue for me. Like, how do you manage diet when you travel? What's your strategy for that?
You know, I try to minimize my carbs. That, to me, that's the biggest thing. You know, whether it's chips or sweets or anything like that. If for me personally, if I can minimize my carbs, then I think my diet. I do the vegetables, raw vegetables when I have a chance. You know, I'm gonna slip off and have. I'll be bad for a little bit, but you know, I weigh myself every day just to make sure I'm on the straight and narrow.
That's the truth, isn't it? Like, my wife sometimes will be like, why do you weigh yourself every single day? I'm like, because it works. Because it works. It works for me. That's why I do it.
You know, they say, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, you shouldn't weigh yourself every day. But I think as a maintenance thing, keeping track so you don't wake up one day and you've gained 10 pounds.
That's it. He is in his eighth season with the Blazers. He led them to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in nearly 20 years. And you've got Portland at home against New York tomorrow night. Terry Stotts, my guest. Terry, so good to have you back. I appreciate you. And I always appreciate the conversation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Always appreciate it.
You too. Terry, great job. Always good to talk to you. 1-800-636-8686. And I would like to emphasize, Melo was the player of the week. And he's come in 22-8-3 during that winning streak and 35 minutes a night during that streak. But definitely hard to see Rodney Hood go down. You know how well thought of he is, not only in that locker room, but around the NBA. Lane Kiffin, back at Ole Miss. I'm still looking at that email from the, quote, Mississippi Queen. Good gosh almighty, I'm so excited. Lane Kiffin is the new Ole Miss head coach. I raise a vodka water to him and say, bim, bam, flim. Like she went to New York and back this weekend. Hey. Sunday, the NFL on CBS will carry on without me, incredibly enough. They feature a key AFC South showdown. Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Titans. Others will see KC host Denver. And how good did Denver look? Other regional action. It all begins with JB and the fellas setting up the day on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. I tell you what, I'll go away for several weeks. They just keep grinding. Drew Kalisky, et al., JB, Boomer, Phil, Nate, JLC, the coach, Bill Cowher. They grind that thing out every single week, and it looks awesome. All right, we will break. Coming up next hour, my man Dennis Dodd is going to break down the bowl season and the CFP. That's...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
one of the best NFL weekends you're going to see. Welcome back. This says, Romy, the Rams won yesterday. Give us a minute to finish hoovering toot off a mirror. Then we will make our way out to the driveway and reattach our flags. Regards, SoCal natives. Geoff in Lincoln. That's funny, Jeff. You live in Los Angeles. You must do blow all the time. So much blow that you're unaware of a Sunday night game last night. Good one, Jeff. Like I said, very disappointing to me to see Seattle. When I go out of my way, you got to understand, the real estate that I have on the NFL and CBS, if Drew Kalisky asks me to do a take on something, I mean, that's pretty important content right there. So I'm going to put myself out there and lay out the way I did for Seattle. You got to show me something a little more than what I saw last night. Credit to the Rams. And to quote their fans for stopping hoovering blow. Yeah, because that's an LA thing. Rome, I really am loving Laney returning to the SEC. I already have a countdown for their first game next season. I can't wait to see that bloated, smug, probably hungover Kiffin trying to explain in some presser why LSU just stuffed him in the closet locker and made him cry to his daddy. Signed, the SEC. Chris, no longer in St. Pete, wore outside sales, wore Lane Kiffin trying to chase skirt over preparing for Alabama. Come on, bro. You've been paying attention at all? Have you seen what this guy's done the last few years? He'll coach him up now. I love that hire. What's better than Lane being back in the SEC? Probably nothing. It's definitely better than your email, Chris. This email reads, hey guys, I can't find my ball. Where is it? Oh, there it is, right in the fairway. Regards, Bagtrick Reed, after using a foot wedge. Drew in West LA. Hey Drew, as your emails go, that's pretty good actually. For you. I'm going to try and get that take in a little bit later on. How about that Monday night matchup? New York at Philly. Something else I touched on the NFL and CBS, that the NFC East is garbage. So, on the heels of that, we get a Monday night matchup between the Giants and the Eagles. You know, sometimes I say, if they didn't pay me, I wouldn't watch that game. They could pay me, and I could bet that game, and I still wouldn't want to watch that game. Can be part of my job. They can pay me to watch that game, and I could actually bet that game, and I still would want nothing to do with that game. Except I will watch it. I will watch it, and I'll probably hit it too, because how else am I going to get through it? I'll watch that game because it's my job. Just know I don't want to. You know other aspects of your job that you don't want to do? Hey, Rome, tough life, tough job. You got to watch a Monday night game. Yeah, I know. I know, and I appreciate it, and I'm grateful, and I have amazing gratitude. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. How many of you really want to watch that game if you're not an Eagles fan? And then if you're going to watch that game or you're going to bet that game, how are you going to go? The line that I see is Philadelphia minus 9.5. So I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do with that. But doesn't that feel like either a Eagle bet or a non-bet? Like, are you going to bet the Giants? You might win. What the hell do I know? I've had weekends in the NFL where I go 4-0, and I've had weekends in the NFL when I go 0-4. And who can really trust the NFL at this point in terms of what might happen? Who do you have? How are you going to approach that? Or are you going to watch that game? 1-800-636-8686. I was shouting out to the Mafia all week long leading up to that game. I could not find any of them anywhere until Rick in Buffalo finally called in. Now here we are after the fact. We've got nothing to be ashamed of. They played pretty big. Came up just short. I know you're not about the moral victory, but how does it feel on Monday? Let's go to Buffalo. Dan in Buffalo. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Hey, is this Jim?
It is. Is this Dan?
How's it going, Mr. Rome? Yeah, it's Dan from the 716. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Yeah, so I heard earlier that you haven't heard out from anyone in the Mafia. I mean, we're still here. We played the Super Bowl.
Now you're not.
I don't like that call.
No offense, bro. I just felt like I had to do that. Is this Jim? No, it's the other guy who hosts this show. Is this Jim? Bro, are you listening to the program? You're on hold. You're getting the audio right through the receiver, directly into your ear. So if I say to you, let's go to Buffalo to talk to Dan. Hey, Dan. How are you? Who else could it be but Rome? Who else would say that? Hawk? Alvy? Old man Ike? The big head, James Kelly.
Hey,
of course it's
Jim?
Rome. Yes, it's Jim. Or Van Smack, or Rome, or Snaglio Ordonez, or whatever you want to call me. Yes, but who else could it be? It's not that confusing. I know that there's a certain amount of panic that kicks in when you hear that, which means you're on the air. But who else could it be? Is this Jim? No, it's Boomer Esiason. Of course it's Jim. There, thank you, Alvin. Way to go. That'll make Rich happy. I mean, that whole thing, too. And for what? You want to know if the Mafia is still here? Well, we are. Yeah, I know. It was more of a rhetorical question. I know you're physically still there. I know Buffalo still exists. I know you still live there. Yes, it's me.
Hey, is this Jim?
Yeah. Is this Rick? Or Dan? Or John? Or whoever you were? Remember, I mentioned Rick in Buffalo. He understands the rules of engagement. He knew who I was, and I knew who he was. And then Wells found out who Rick was. He made this call Friday.
I'm looking right at you, Wells, in the 360. Old Wellsy's been taking his Twitter victory lap all week for that stupid name drop idea. But what everyone really needs to focus on is that pathetic sonogram video he posted last week, followed up by the cringeworthy gender announcement he made on the Woodscopes. And just like Dad, it's a girl. You can toughen up anytime now, big guy.
Well, what's fair is fair. Let's get the response. We go to the 360. Wells in the 360. Wells, what's up?
Hey, Jim, not much. I wanted to call back and respond to Rick for making fun of me for doing a gender reveal for my future son. Rick, you should consider doing a gender reveal for yourself. And way to go with the gender reveal smack, Boomer. I mean, the only thing lazier than that is your left eye. I don't know if you saw these pictures on Twitter. This guy was at the Bills game yesterday. I can't tell if he's looking at the camera or checking out some babe in section 106, row 23. This guy can look at Josh Allen and the receivers 40 yards downfield at the same time. But it finally makes sense about how a teacher can call so much during school hours. This guy's good eyes on his students while his lazy eyes reading his crappy script. And then if he does need to call on a student, he just covers an eye up so they know who he's looking at. I mean, this dude's eye is so lazy it rides around on one of those motorized skateboards. This thing travels more than James Harden. But it all started because I did a gender reveal. I know when Rick's parents tried his gender reveal, they were all excited. They had the blue balloons and pink balloons. That's what they were expecting. The family's there. The cardboard box opens with purple balloons. Everyone's confused. The family just says, congrats, you guys are having a beta male. All Rick's dad could do was go full Gordon Hayward and lie through his teeth. Daddy's always happy. Rick, your dad wasn't happy. He was disappointed then, and you've disappointed him every day since. I'm out.
Look at Wells getting in under the buzzer, no less. All right, when we come back, see, you've heard both sides of that. Still ahead, Dennis Dodd joins us. My thoughts on the Patriots. Yes, they were jammed by the refs. What else is new? Somebody's going to be every single week. Patrick Reed cheats, allegedly, and more. Stay tuned.